Today's episode is brought to you by singer-songwriter Janet Blair, a Billboard-charting artist rolling out her new album, Over Under, now. Inspired by her family, this album was produced by Matthew Odemark of Jars of Clay and advised by Sarah Groves. Janet Blair is looking for inspiration for future music and wants to tell your story through song. To be considered, simply enter today at songplease.com. This opportunity ends September 30th. We're so thankful for Janet Blair's support.
Motherhood is hard. One second, we think we're doing a good enough job, and the next, we feel like the worst mom on the planet, which is why we need the refreshing truth of the gospel to be repeated over and over, giving us hope in the everyday moments. So, mama, whether you're sipping cold coffee or doing a sink full of dishes, we hope you'll find truth, encouragement, and laughter here. This is the Risen Motherhood Podcast. Thanks for joining us.
Well, hey guys, it's Risen Motherhood. We are excited to be here. I'm Laura and I have Emily as well.
Hello.
And we're listening to another episode that is a replay of an old, yeah. I couldn't think of the word, a replay of a past episode. But this one is especially near and dear to our hearts. I think it's about marriage. And as I was listening, I was immediately sort of transported back to having newborn babies and a lot of the whisper yelling that goes on in the middle of the night when you're like, make the child stop screaming, you know, and
I got up last time. Yeah.
Or your husband's just snoring and you're like, what the heck? When is he going to wake up? So, but I was kind of brought back to a lot of those stages, yeah. And am grateful, but have a lot of room to work in this. But at some level, I'm also grateful because I do feel like my husband and I have made a lot of strides in this, just as I think we've gone down the parenting path mm-hmm. a little bit longer, where particularly for me, I've grown in a lot of grace and I've grown in a lot of what proper and right expectations are and like the way to process things that he says or things that he mm-hmm. does.
Yeah, exactly. And I think some of it is just instead of having a lot of these conversations for the very first time, it's just refreshing yeah. and like, oh yeah, let's get back on the same page there. Or let's reappreciate why we're good together, even though we parent differently.
Yeah.
I know the other day I was feeling really weary. You probably heard me mention in like our intro episode that my husband has been working a lot more in this season. So I've been with the kids a little bit more and you know, it's with social distancing and everything. Like we're really just together.
It's you and the kids.
All the time. And he was home on a Saturday and he'd just been kind of making some comments about things that the kids were doing. He's like, oh, that's so frustrating. Or I don't know why they're that way or whatever. And you guys, I was taking this really personally.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
Yeah. So by the end of the day, I was feeling like, okay, this just shows. See, I already thought I was doing a horrible job. I've not been keeping all the balls in the air. I'm not training our kids well enough. And like, now my husband is noticing. And so at the end of the day, you know, we had this kind of, well, why are you, you know, do you want to talk, honey? Are you upset? And I was like, no, like nobody's done anything wrong, but I just already feel like I'm doing such a bad job. And then, you know, you say these things and that mm-hmm. just reinforces.
You hear them as a personal attack.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Our kids are doing this because my wife isn't training them
yes,
correctly.
Yes, totally get it.
And his face, looked at me dead serious and said, honey, I never am thinking that this is your fault. Like, and of course he doesn't think I'm perfect. That wasn't right. The point. But the point was that it was just this good reminder of, no, my husband is for me.
Yeah.
And he sees the work that I'm doing. I know that's not the case for everyone, mm-hmm. but I just really, really appreciated that reminder that no, my husband and I are on the same page. And even in mm-hmm. seasons where our parenting like may look more like me hands-on mm-hmm. and him mm-hmm. not, that we're still coming together in this. And I don't know, it was just kind of one of those, like, I'm a lot harder on myself than he is on mm-hmm. me. Like, he thinks I'm doing a great job. Yeah. So,
but the thing
is
that you brought it up with him.
Right.
And I feel like, at least for me, again, 5 years ago.
Oh, we would not have talked about that 5 years
yes,
ago. That would have stewed for like 2 weeks.
Totally. And it may never have come out or yeah. it may, you know, have come out in different ways and different arguments or yeah. discussions. And so I think that's exactly what I'm meaning because I totally feel you. Like, or my husband will make a comment about like the dishes or the dog. And I totally take it personally because I feel like, well, I'm like, yeah.
You already know all the things you're like, oh, I didn't get that done. Yes. I'm not doing that. Good
but
enough.
I take it as a yeah. personal attack yeah. when he's just literally making a comment of yeah. like, and is happy to jump in and do it. But yeah. but you have to talk about it.
Amen.
And you have to have the words to be able to discuss it, and the attitude and the open hands that says, okay, I want to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to lay down my pride and bring this up. And so I feel like for me, that's been one of the biggest things that I've learned in marriage. And I think we talk about it a little on the show, but like has been just a game changer for our marriage is us being willing, or particularly me, to bring up things when I don't understand. Because often it's not that like he's doing something wrong or I'm doing something wrong. It is because I literally didn't understand it. So we just need to talk through it, you know?
Yeah. I just love those conversations that can quickly like, you know, you kind of feel like you're on separate islands and it just pulls you back together and you're like, oh yeah, we're in this together. We're on the same mission. We both want to parent our children and raise them in the Lord to know Christ and love him more. And then the conversation for us shifted to, okay, how can we do this better?
Yeah, yeah. Which, what could he say differently next time? Or how could you receive it differently?
And totally. And how can we parent like better? You know, like how can he support me or whatever? And so then it became very productive very fast.
Yep, totally. So speaking of trying to get on the same page with one another, one thing that we have at Risen Mother that we've developed, because Emily and I totally get it, is that we've developed these questionnaires where some big topics that you might be having with your husband, perhaps school choice is a big topic in your home, perhaps how many children you should have is a big discussion.
Traditions,
how should you go about figuring out what you're going to do for traditions or celebrating different holidays. And so we have actually developed questionnaires on our site that walk you through sort of a biblical lens or framework of these kind of big issues that you are likely facing and probably talking through with your husband. And you can use those if you're not married. You can also use those with family members or other guardians or friends who just really care about you and your family. And so the hope is that these prompt discussion points and prompt you to search scripture to see what does God say about these topics? And then what is right for our family, knowing what God has said and then knowing the unique time and culture that our family is in and our desires and our family mission and values. How do these things match up, and how can we make a wise choice for some of these decisions that can sometimes feel really, really scary or hard, or like you're on totally different pages?
Mm-hmm. So we hope that you are encouraged by this episode. And like Laura said, that you are further motivated to just search the scriptures and see how you can love your husband well, parent alongside him. So enjoy. Well, welcome back to another episode of Risen Motherhood. I'm Emily, here with my sister-in-law, Laura, and it's Valentine's Day when this show is coming out. So, yeah, we felt like with Valentine's Day, we wanted to do a show that has to do with marriage and husbands, because that's usually what's on our mind on Valentine's Day.
That's right. And we get asked a lot of questions about marriage. I mean, marriage in the little years is hard, and so these shows are fun to do, but, you know that we're in the midst of all of this with you guys trying to figure it out. So I was reading a book on parenting the other day, and there were so many wonderful ideas inside. They were very practical ideas and some like heart issue ideas. But by the time I got to chapter 3 or 4, I just started feeling really anxious about how much I wasn't doing. And quite honestly, I started thinking about how much my husband wasn't doing. And immediately I felt like, we need to talk. We need to get on the same page. We need to get unified on this stuff. And we don't have any time left to shape our children's character. The time is going by way too fast. And it was just funny. That wasn't the author's intention at all. But I think it goes to show just how intentional parenting can quickly start to feel very overwhelming. And we can kind of look to our husbands and expect them to, I don't know, there can just be a lot of sin issues that come up between those things. But the great thing is that God has called us as two parents together to share the load and do all of this together.
Yes. So I think one thing that like my husband and I wouldn't say struggle with, but just live with the reality of, is that we have like really different strengths and personalities. So like of the two of us, I'm kind of the more teacher type, for lack of a better way to say it. Like I'm the one who is more likely to come up with a reading plan or to help our kids study and learn catechisms and talk to them about church history or explain the word doctrine. and so I'm more naturally bent towards that. And I think that's like the cool, right way to do it. But my husband is really a lot more practical, and he is really good about teaching them obedience to God's word, like in everyday situations, and even like talking to them about practical spiritual things in the midst of what they're doing and how they're serving. And so again, sometimes I can kind of feel like we're not unified because it looks so different, when in reality, I'm very thankful that there's not two of me, yeah, because our children would be little Pharisees spouting off doctrinal statements, but maybe not living it as well, and or the other way. Yeah. And so I think it's just a beautiful picture of unity, how we both bring our strengths to the table and hopefully help our children very imperfectly. I'm making this sound really great. But, hopefully help them learn what it means to follow Christ in different ways.
Yeah. So some of you, when you saw the title of the show, you might have not wanted to listen because you're frustrated in this area, or maybe your husband doesn't seem to be as interested in intentional parenting as you, or maybe you're not married, or you have a husband who is not a believer, or maybe you do have a husband who you feel like is doing a really good job at this point to do his best to lead your family. So primarily today, we do just want to make a quick caveat that we are addressing those of you who have a believing husband who does want to be involved and be an intentional parent. But we do hope that there will be application for every mom who listens on this show, just even as you think about the way that you are unified within the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And whoever your community is, that it takes a whole village to help raise your children in the Lord, if you're married or if not.
Yeah, I think that's a beautiful truth that you just pointed out, Laura, like just that we have unity in the body of Christ too, in terms of our mission to bring up children in the Lord. And so whether that is thinking about it in that context or thinking about it in the context of marriage, which is what we're going to be talking through, the gospel definitely applies. Mm-hmm. So as we look at creation, we see that God designed husband and wife, Adam and Eve, to be in unity in terms of their mission. And the first time that like a union is mentioned is when he talks in Genesis 2:24 about a man leaving his father and mother and being united to his wife, becoming one flesh. So that is a thing that we see right off the bat in creation that is good for Adam and Eve to be together on mission for the same purpose.
Right. And as moms and dads, our calling is the same as any other believers. So our calling is to know God, follow his will for our lives, live to glorify him, and help others, aka our children, to do the same. And so we know as parents, we are charged to intentionally teach our children about God, like it talks about in Deuteronomy 6, where it talks about everyone should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and on your mind. And these words, you should teach diligently to your children, talk about them when you sit down, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise, all the time. Essentially, there is not a moment that we are not teaching and investing in our children to teach them in the way of the Lord.
Yes. So although we were created to do that, and that sounds wonderful and amazing, we know that sin wrecks everything, including unity, even in marriage. And so it's okay that we have differences between one another. God created us beautiful with differences, but disunity is really a result of the fall. And so now I think when we are striving to raise godly children alongside each other, all of a sudden there's tensions and there's miscommunication and there's misunderstanding and wrong assumptions and selfish motives. And it just can look really messy and looks like two people sometimes who are not working together towards the same goal, but two people who are really out of step with each other and are struggling to be on the same page about the end goal of the family.
Right. But that's where the hope of the gospel comes in. And we know that, as Emily said, our marriages, our unity within them, the way that we parent our children, it's not going to be perfect, but we can be thankful for Christ because he did live a perfect life. He had perfect character, perfect decision-making skills, perfect communication, perfect actions, dreams, goals, all of those things. And he died in place of us so that we could receive this perfect record that he had. So he fills every gap of ours. He is sufficient for every failure that we have. He sustains every effort that we take. And so we can place our identity
identity in him rather than how unified we're feeling at the moment with our husband, or in the way that we feel like, oh, our husband is lacking in intentionality, or if we feel like we're judging them for the things that they're doing, we can remember and trust that because of Christ's death and resurrection, that pressure is off, and we can rest secure in both our efforts and our husband's because Jesus lived a perfect life in our stead.
So good that we don't have to put our hope in our husbands. I think that is like one of the biggest truths I have to remember over and over again. Like when our identity is found in Christ, we don't have to tie ourselves to the roller coaster of how someone else is doing or what they're not doing. We can just love them freely because Christ has loved us. And then we can be hopeful as we look ahead to a time we are going to be unified with the whole body of Christ, with him forever. And we can trust that God is going to be sovereign over how everything plays out until then, that we are just called to be faithful. And when we're imperfect, we're called to repent and to model the gospel to our children and then trust God that he is going to do what is in our best interest, do what is for our good, for his glory. So that's kind of a little bit of gospel there in terms of unity with our husband, but there's also practical things we can do to be unified.
That's right. So we're going to tick through another list here of just some high level practical pieces. The first one, as is usual with our list, I'm starting to realize, which is good, is to pray. So something that I always appreciated was Jared Lopes from Dad Tired when he was on our show. Goodness, almost a year ago now, he shared a story about his wife who got up at 2 a.m. for I think a long period of time to pray for him instead of telling him all of the grievances that she had. She spent time praying for him in the wee hours of the morning. And that is so convicting for me and was just such good advice, especially if your husband is a little bit more checked out or not interested in these things of growing spiritually in this way. Praying for your husband, and even with your husband, if your husband is open to that, pray with your husband for unity, for growth and direction as intentional parents. And pray for God to guide your family as a whole and for you to lay down your lives for one another. I think that's just always such a good thing to go back to, is holding your tongue before we come out with all of our grievances, to first say, I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray, and not just one time, but I'm going to spend a good season in prayer and coming before the Lord about this issue before I lay it all out in front of my husband.
Before I slay him. Yes. And then I think we talk about this a lot again on Prison Motherhood, communication with our husbands and talking with them about what we're learning. I know that oftentimes on long car trips or on extended date nights, we will have conversations that just kind of pop up about our children and how things are going. And we can talk through the details of how we are trying to parent intentionally so that our children know what's most important in life. And then other times communication can just look like a short check-in. I know today I texted my husband in the afternoon and said, hey, we need to talk to one of our children about lying when you get home, because there have been 4 or 5 untruths that have been said today.
Oh, dear.
And we need to talk about this. So when he got home, he knew he needed to pull that child aside. And guess what? The conversation he had with that child is probably different than what I would have said. But the point is, we were unified in knowing that, no, we want you to represent the truth, son. And so daddy's going to talk to you about that, and we're going to have a conversation. So unity can really come through communication.
Yeah, I think that's a huge piece. Even things like, for my husband, he doesn't have a lot of time to read stuff. So often I will earmark pages in a book and be like, just read page 54. Or I'll send him a quick link, like you, Emily, send him a text. And I think it's good, because I'm out there. My natural personality is I'm reading, I'm doing a lot of out there looking at things, and I can be kind of a curator of content for my husband and giving him the cliff notes of these pieces so that we are, as we keep saying, unified and on the same page of these pieces. So
yeah. And as we're seeking to communicate, it's super important to like believe the best in each other and not like always assume that our husband has a bad idea. Like I continue to be shocked, like, I shouldn't say it like that. It sounds really bad. I think that's the opposite of what we're trying to say. I'm not shocked.
There was a real moment right there that just happened on Risen Motherhood.
I really do think my husband has good ideas.
I know you do. He does have wonderful ideas.
But it's just like, every time I'm like, why didn't I think to ask you this before?
more. And I should have believed that you had a great idea about how to handle this. And he does. So it's just great. And to build upon that, I think sometimes because our husbands, I'm making a broad brush statement, are like sometimes a little bit more objective and they're not as deep in the mommy wars.
Yeah.
Or just they're not on Instagram seeing what everyone else is doing with their children. They can help us sometimes just get out of the muck and mire and make decisions that are appropriate for our own families that aren't worrying so much about what other people think or what other people are doing, and just be really faithful to the gospel. And that's something I'm very thankful that my husband helps me do.
Yes, 100%. Man, me too. Another one that has been really helpful for me over the years is when we're feeling really lost as parents, if just you or just your husband is, or both of you. And oftentimes my husband and I will read a book, or we'll be talking to someone or at a conference or whatever, and we'll just be real overwhelmed because there's all these really wonderful things that we can implement, but we're not really sure what or how. Focus on the gospel. This is really the only thing that has true power to change or grow your children into the likeness of Christ. And so I think that this is one of those pieces that I just like fall back on the gospel, fall back on the gospel. If I teach them nothing else, let it be the gospel.
So good. So good.
Yeah. And I just think it's a good safety net. And it's one of those things that kind of can wash away all of the overwhelm and anxious feelings. And even for my husband, who is not a naturally anxious person at all, he's the most even keeled person, but he can feel overwhelmed by like all that the heavy responsibility mm-hmm. of raising children. And so this is a great thing to just go back to mm-hmm. each time.
Yeah. Another conversation Laura and I have had in the past kind of related to this topic is just creating a family vision statement. So we have episode 46 on intentional motherhood, communicating your family's mission. Just kind of going through again, the idea that having your mission is really, really important, right? Like God gave Adam and Eve, he unified them together and then said, here's what I want you to do. And he did that for us as parents. And so it's good for us to come together with our husband and rehearse that and then understand what it looks like more specifically for our family as much as we can. And so that could be another helpful thing if you're feeling like, hey, we both want to come together on the same page. We don't know how. That's one potential piece of the puzzle.
Yeah. And what's nice, I think, about that is that you're doing that hopefully when you're both feeling real collaborative, you're on the same page, like you're really excited. So that in those more tense moments, in those moments where you're making decisions and maybe things are a little bit heated, maybe things are a little more stressful in your life, that family mission statement can be very helpful to fall back on and understand this is why we're saying no, and this is why we're saying yes.
Yeah. So kind of just to summarize the gospel application here is just that we are unified in Christ. I always have to remember to like kind of put on the hat that's like, yes, my husband is my husband, but he's also my brother in Christ. And so yeah. We are unified on multiple fronts in our mission in this life and what we're both looking towards and hoping towards. But when we remember that we are sinners, that we've fallen short, that we need a Savior that humbles us, that allows us to see that God's grace has covered our husband's sin as well. And now we can both go forward knowing that it's going to take a lot of course correcting, right? I need a course correct like every day. So oh my I shouldn't goodness. Be yeah. surprised when my husband needs to do that too. And when we need to come together in that, we have never arrived, but we can be unified and we can trust God in the process that he's in control and just pray desperately that he helps our children love him and know him, because that's who does it all.
Yeah. Ultimately, it's all God. So on that note, head to our show notes for more resources on this type of topic. Of course, you can also check out our social media platforms where we'll be talking about topics like this throughout the week. We are at Risen Motherhood, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Besides that,
happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Hope you're doing something fun like this week, next week, you know, within the month. Let's just go for within the month. Hopefully you get some special time with your husband. I know for my husband and I, yes. we very rarely actually celebrate on the day of
maybe anything. You watch a whole Netflix show together without falling asleep.
Or a baby interrupting.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Hi, my name is Katrina, and I choose to support the Risen Motherhood Ministry because of their solid gospel-centered teaching, whether it's their podcasts, their blog posts, recommended resources. I notice that I tend to prefer practical advice and articles with 10 simple steps to coming up with the right answer for life. but my heart really needs the gospel and the Holy Spirit to lead me in how the good news and the hope of knowing Jesus informs my decisions in motherhood. That is what Risen Motherhood is all about. Join me in providing free gospel-centered resources for moms through Risen Motherhood at risenmotherhood.com/donate.
Hey, before you go, don't forget that Risen Motherhood is a crowd-funded nonprofit, which means we are funded by generous donors from our community, hopefully just like you. So if you want to donate today, you can head to our site, risenmotherhood.com/give. We take one-time donations or ongoing monthly donations, and we would really love it if you would give today.